coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the first letter of John. Going to the text of 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, we read as follows. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Once again, John addresses tenderly his readers, calling them little children. As a father speaks dearly to his children, so John speaks to the believers, encouraging them to abide in Jesus Christ. An expressive number of people make a good start in Christian life, believing and following Jesus, but then, for several reasons, they step away. It is essential and necessary to abide or remaining in Jesus through faith, making use of his word and sacrament. According to Jesus, the one who endures to the end will be saved. The day will come when Jesus will appear from heaven and summon us into his presence. What then will count is faith in Jesus. Faith dwells in the person who has been born of God, who has been turned from sin to God, and has been made a follower of Jesus Christ. The apostle says that Jesus is righteous, that is, he is without sin and fulfilled the whole law of God for sinners. Now the person who has been born again and believes in Jesus will strive to behave toward God and his neighbor the way Jesus behaved, practicing righteousness. In the sequence of his letter, the apostle writes in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. God is love in his essence, and his business is to love human beings as no one else. Human love is fragile and stained with faults. In contrast, the quality of God's love is pure and holy, and the quantity of God's love is immeasurable. God is our Father, and in his great love, he not only named us his children, but he made us his children. We are his children. Despite all our selfishness and sinfulness, God made us his children in the waters of holy baptism. Why? Because of his unique love which he lavished on us in spite of our corrupted and sinful nature. We are God's children not because we merit or deserve it, but because his love embraced us. This is true because God never lies to us and he never fails to do what he promises. We can count on him. Although the unbelieving world may recognize that we as children of God lead a different lifestyle, it is quite common that the same unbelieving world opposes and despises us. The reason for this resides in the fact that the unbelieving world does not know God. As children of God, we enjoy already now, day after day, many of the blessings the Heavenly Father bestows on us. We are granted forgiveness of sins, peace with God, comfort in tribulation, strength in our struggles against evil, and hope in challenging circumstances. However, the Heavenly Father has much, much more in store for His children. When Jesus will appear on the last day, He will raise us from the grave. He will transform our bodies to be glorious bodies. We will be face to face with Jesus, and we will see Him as He is. Then we will be given the full measure of the Father's riches, and we will be led into eternal glory to dwell with the Father and all the saved brothers and sisters. While we are still here on earth, we hope in God. The Apostle says, "Everyone who thus hopes in God purifies himself as he is pure." Our hope in Jesus is that we are no longer slaves to sin, but having been purified and made holy, and given the sure hope of eternal life, we seek that which is holy and right. Returning to the text of the Apostle's letter, we read in 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 10. "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." These verses deal with the Christian's incompatibility with sin. The false teachers that John combated discounted the significance of sin and the need for obedience. The Apostle John takes sins seriously. He remarks that children of God live accordingly to what is due to them. Prior to our status of children of God, sinning was the thing we naturally used to do. It was our practice. Now everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, says the Apostle. And he adds, sin is lawlessness. It is rebellion against the law. It is incompatible with the law. The person who keeps sinning, that is, who practices sin habitually, is not a child of God. Such a person cannot know the love of God in Jesus. The Apostle states that whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Sin has its origin in the corruption of God's good creation of mankind by the work of the devil in deceiving Eve and tempting Adam to distrust God. Therefore, everyone who sins serves the devil and continues the evil work of the devil. The Apostle reminds his readers of what God has done to make sinners His children. God sent His Son Jesus Christ to take away sins. Sinless Jesus took the place of sinners, appeared in human flesh, lived a perfect and righteous life, gave up His lifeblood in sacrifice to God to remove the guilt of our sins. Then He was raised from the dead, so that we might know that the Father accepted Him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John reinforces what God accomplished to make us His children. He says that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Particularly with his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ gave evidence that he overcame sin, devil, and death. Raising from the grave, Jesus proved to be the victor over the devil. For now the devil continues to tempt and to pester us. However, on the last day when Jesus will raise us from the tombs, he will bring the devil's hateful work to nothing. Believers are beneficiaries of Jesus' work right now. They are children of God. As children of God and born of God, they strive to lead a righteous life. With the help of the Holy Spirit, children of God do not make of sinning their practice. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, remarks the Apostle. Jesus Christ himself dwells in the believers and purifies them. The children of God are distinguished from the children of the devil by the practice of righteousness and love towards their brothers. The Apostle continues to write in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Love is a recurring theme in the first letter of John. From the very beginning, when the readers of John's letter came to faith, they were taught about Christ's love and the salvation he prepared. Those believers also heard the teaching that they should love one another because Christ loved them first. John emphasized that the false teachers wanted to prevent the teaching of God. This, however, should not discourage the believers to love one another. Love is not merely an optional duty for someone claiming to be a Christian, but it is naturally part of following Christ. The opposite of love is hate. John recollects an example from the very early history of humankind when the sons of Adam and Eve got into trouble. Cain, the eldest son, hated his brother Abel and murdered him. Cain showed that he was of the evil one because he hated his brother simply because Abel did what was good and right. Both brothers offered sacrifices to God. The sacrifice of Abel was accepted by God, whereas the sacrifice of Cain was rejected. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? Because Cain made the sacrifice without faith, and because he was greedy. Since Cain was of the evil one, his works did not proceed from faith. The case of Cain, who hated his brother Abel and murdered him, exemplifies what happens to Christians till this day. John says that the world hates you. We should not be surprised when we see this in practice. Our Lord Jesus told us ahead of time that the world would hate us because we do not belong to this world any more than he did. The world hated Jesus because his whole life testified that the deeds of the world were evil. Love is one of the main characteristics of Christian life. John says that we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Christians have been born of God and therefore have true faith. As a result, faith produces love. Therefore, Christians love one another. Those who have no genuine love are dead, that is, they are unbelievers. The apostle also points out that hatred towards a brother makes a person guilty of the sin of murder. He is worthy of condemnation in hell. Eternal life cannot remain in any who refuses to admit that he or she is a murderer and does not repent of the hatred for their brothers. In the continuation of his first letter, John writes in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. John introduces the standard of love, God's love, that is reflected in genuine Christianity. God's love becomes the measuring stick for every expression of love. Jesus showed God's love when he laid down his life for all people. So as Jesus laid down his life for our salvation, he wants us to use our lives, to lay down our lives, that our brothers and sisters might be blessed and saved. One way of putting love into practice is sharing material goods with brothers in need. If one possesses goods, but feels no compassion for his brothers and turns his heart away from them, that is an indication that the love of God does not abide in him. Genuine love is not only expressed in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. Love is carried out in actual deeds done for the benefit and blessing of another. John concludes chapter 3 of his first letter with verses 19 to 24. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. To love one another as Jesus loved us flows from genuine faith in the Savior. Believers are reassured as the Lord keeps his promises to bless them through the gospel and the sacraments. When we look at our brother, see his needs and yet excuse ourselves from acting in love, then our heart condemns us. The law of God accuses us and burdens our conscience. God, who knows everything, however, affirms that on the cross Christ removed the guilt and condemnation of all, so we can step into God's presence with confidence and being certain that Christ pardons us. Pardoned by Christ, we are reassured that God is greater than our heart and that whatever we ask we receive from him. According to his will and word, God answers our prayers, granting us what is best for us. We are encouraged to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And once again the apostle exhorts us to abide in God, for God abides in us. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.